Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Since the first of the year, Bi-State Development, which operates the Metro public transportation system in the St. Louis region, among other things, has been under new management. Talby Roach has succeeded John Nations as Bi-State President and CEO. He came aboard a few weeks before a comprehensive report on Metrolink crime and security was issued by a consulting team. It included many recommendations. Talby Roach joins us in studio to talk about that and his vision for Bi-State going forward. Great to have you with us. Thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon, Don. Thanks for having me.
On a crummy day, did you take the bus or the Metrolink?
So I take Metrolink almost every single day. But today, of course, I had several appointments, so I didn't take it today. However, our day starts early on a day like this. We have operators who are going in at 4:30, getting equipment ready, getting ready for situations just like this so we can get the public to work.
Well, one of the concerns that the public seems to have these days, and I know it's one of your top priorities, is security on the Metrolink system. This report has just come out. What is the gist of that report? It's comprehensive and voluminous, but what basically are they talking about?
It is, and there are almost 99 recommendations having to do with the WSP report. And while that number seems daunting, I think it's really valuable for us to see what are the expert outside opinions, especially in how transit and security is handled across the country. I mean, one thing that I think that the leadership and public have been asking us to do is basically do a better job. Look at what you're doing well, and what you're not doing well. And I think in any journey that a transit system or any company would be making, the first thing that you have to figure out is where you are today. Mm-hmm. One good thing about a report like this is it gives us a good idea of where we are today. And that way we can chart where we should be going in the future.
Well, where are we today with regard to security?
So the nice thing about being in this role is, although I've only been in it for 2 months, mm-hmm. I have been involved and around the system for decades. So I've also been working in partnership, albeit in my prior role with St. Clair County at the Transit District, on improving security over the past several months. And for instance, I like to say that we've already made some traction with the recommendations. I've recently been talking with Jessica Meffer-Miller, who is, of course, the executive director of the Transit Division, a highly competent professional. She's been in the job for just several months. But in those months, she and our team have been starting to implement some of the changes that have been recommended in the WSP study.
What are those changes that you're talking about?
So some of those really fundamentally are about deployment. So deployment of our security resources and really how our folks interact and how these different security teams at three different levels. Of course, there's the professional police departments, then there's the Metro public safety officers, and then there's the contract security. One of the issues with the WSP study is that they're not recommending necessarily that we need more people, which is reassuring. They are saying that the deployment of those resources, however, needs to be better. So we've taken some of those initial ideas and already put them to task. And one of the nice things about riding the system almost every single day, I've seen the results of that. And I've had customers come up to me and thank me, asking, in fact, have we added security? Actually, we haven't added any more bodies, but how we work and how they are deployed and how they interact with our customers, we are changing that.
Should they be armed, these security officers? Should they carry guns?
So that's certainly one of the considerations that is in the report. And we are looking at that. One thing that you have to remember is this is a transit environment. It's very different than some of the traditional policing models. And most of the training associated with transit models are specific to that interaction. For instance, most of our interaction with our customers in asking them whether they have a ticket and are they having a good ride and good morning, are you having a good day, 99% of that is with someone that we want to feel comfortable and safe. So it's not dealing with someone who's necessarily broken the law. So some of this is about customer service. How do we do that? If we look at it first from a customer service standpoint, that interaction becomes a natural part of being part of a community. And when it becomes a community and people start interacting and working together, that environment gets safer.
You know, there is some discussion in Jefferson City, as I understand it, about allowing your customers, if you will, your travelers, to carry weapons. How do you feel about that?
So I don't feel that concealed carry is really a good paradigm on a transit system. Quite frankly, I would invite a lot of people to see the loads that we have. You know, frequently I'm going home and moving west, and our most congested station right now is the Central West End station. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of really dynamic activity around that station, as you know. And when you see that load that comes on at 5:15, and we have a standing load of all different diverse faces and a lot of millennials who are working at Cortex and at the medical center, you see a kind of almost a crush load type environment. And that's really not conducive to concealed carry, just like it wouldn't be conducive in a ballpark or a football stadium. And so there's environments where we feel that that's appropriate.
We talked to some Metrolink customers, riders over the last several days, and I want to play a clip from one Danielle who was asked about this idea of potentially concealed weapons being utilized on the system.
I mean, my opinion on that is I thought the government and everything was about public safety. That does not coincide with public safety. It makes no sense. It just makes no sense, and that's not taking care of the public. I mean, you can ask a four-year-old why that's a bad idea, you know, because that's going to increase violence. It's going to increase murder, and it's going to increase violence.
That is Danielle, one of the riders on the Metrolink system. She's right in line, I think, pretty much with what you're saying.
Yeah, what can I do except thank you, Danielle? So we need to remember what are those voices. Listen to our customers. Listen to the public. Ask them what they want. Not only how do we make them feel safe on our trains and buses, but we want them to feel comfortable so that beyond safety, they're comfortable checking their emails. They're comfortable reading a book on the way to work. That's what our goal should be. We should always be trying to get to that situation where I like to think of transit as a neighborhood. It's a neighborhood with a diversity of voices and a diversity of opinions, and we need to do our best to make it a safe neighborhood.
What is the future of in terms of expansion for the system? Buses, trains?
Right. So I like to think of transit as just part of a transportation environment. Our transit should be working in conjunction with roads and highways and really how we expand our city. I'd like to think of transit as a key component of how we see the future of the greater St. Louis area. So I'm a transit advocate, and I'd love to see it in every single corner. But we need to look at how it fits appropriately within each neighborhood and what the community thinks about that.
Not unexpectedly, we're getting some input from our listeners, and I'd like to encourage that. Our number is 382-8255 or 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org or send us a tweet at STL on air. And let's call in Gabe, calling from St. Louis, who has the next question that I was going to ask, but let's have him ask it. Go ahead, Gabe. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks, Don. I ride the Metrolink infrequently, probably 2-3 times a month. Find it pretty convenient. But my question goes to the ticketing approach that I experienced moving to St. Louis from out of town, and the fact that it's almost like an opt-in system of buying the ticket, and whether there are any security implications by way of, you know, that you can access a Metrolink train at least without having to necessarily buy a ticket. Obviously, I always buy a ticket. Sometimes the validation works, sometimes it doesn't. But it seems that you can access the trains without purchasing a ticket, and if that has any security implications that the consulting firm looked at.
We get this question a lot, by the way, Toby.
Sure, and absolutely, there are implications. So our system was originally designed, of course, in the 90s, and it's based on an honor system, and it is based on, for instance, having to validate most of the tickets. Although a majority of our ticketing has to do with our regular monthly riders and so on. However, there's certainly some aspects from the security study that we intend on implementing that would modernize some of our ticketing media, and that certainly is a weakness of our mm-hmm. system. We can do better associated with that. One of the really key components that they're talking that is recommended in, for instance, security through environmental programs is through access control. So one thing that our law enforcement partners have been asking us to do in the design of the system is to limit access so that they can patrol that access point and check fares more reliably. It's a fundamental component of security. Unfortunately, some of the redesign of some of those systems does cost a little bit more money. However, that's one of those fundamental design elements that we should be looking at. I'm often asked, when will we be finished looking at security? When will this job be done? There really isn't an answer to that, because we should always be trying to modernize security. We should always be responsive to what the changing dynamic is with our customer, and what are the mm-hmm. modern features that we can bring into it to make it a better ride. Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a lot of things that require a lot of input from staff, for instance, and mm-hmm. some will require money. You're reducing the size of your staff, and you're reducing your budget, aren't you? So
that's right.
These two square?
Well, sure. They do square, just like in the private industry. We have to be a growing and changing organization. So sometimes, especially with changes in policy, there have to be adjustments made. That part of the reason why I was brought in as the new president and CEO is to try to bring the system in a slightly new direction. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, I have made some staff changes, and that's right. And also, additionally, we are stewards of the public money. We are accountable to make our budget, and we are accountable to show that we're responsive to not only to our leadership, but also to the public and to our riders. And in that obligation, I have to look at where are we budgetarily. I have challenged our staff to implement some changes, including some layoffs, but mostly in where do we see our organization in 3 years? One of the problems is we need to get out of this 12-month cycle. You know, a lot of times in the transit industry, especially with large changes like security, it takes several years to really implement it effectively. Just like changes in neighborhoods, it takes some time to make those changes. Mm-hmm. But we have to take action. We have to take action immediately, and we have to be accountable to that action. It's one of the reasons why I'm here today. And it's one of the reasons why I've already made some changes.
We have to take a break. We'll do that now. We're talking with Talvi Roach, who is the president and CEO of Bi-State Development. We'll continue our conversation and welcome your input as well. We have a couple of callers who are waiting. Stay with us. We'll be back in just about 1 minute, and we'll start taking your calls. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation about the Bi-State Development and some of the things that's going on in that organization right now with the Talvi Roach. Talvi, I want to go back to the security thing for just a moment here. According to the report, as I read it, and I'm quoting here, the suggestion is to do more in private so as not to alarm the public. Quoting here, depoliticize the conversation about metro security and deal with differences in closed meetings. Is that make sense to you? Do you want to go dark, as it were?
So we are always accountable, and we have to be accountable to the public. And one of the directions that I've certainly given staff is we want to be open to the public, and we'll continue to be that way. However, we have to coordinate how we are dealing with security. And for instance, with the normal planning and police work that goes with security. And sometimes some of those conversations indeed need to be in private so that we can target behavior and try to do essentially some hot spot policing. And one, I think, legitimate criticism of how things have gone in the past 18 months is that some of the security issues have been inappropriately politicized. And part of that, if we are going to move into a collaborative environment where we're working together every single day on security in Metrolink, then I need to have a very strong relationship with the three professional police departments, through the Sheriff's Department in St. Clair County, through the St. Louis City Police and St. Louis County, and be working together every single day, along with our dedicated Metro public safety officers.
Along these lines, one of our reporters wants to know, she believes the agency should be subject to do you believe the agency should be subject to sunshine laws despite a court ruling that says they are exempt?
So even despite the court ruling, one of the things that I'm going to do as president and CEO is endeavor to be, just as a matter of policy, since we do expend the public's money, as a matter of policy, always seek to be open to, for instance, those open records rulings. Mm-hmm. And so as far as I'm concerned, we are going to always endeavor to meet that burden.
Back to the phones. Let's bring in Mike calling from St. Louis. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, Don. And your gentleman is Mr. Roach, I believe?
That's yes. Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, I love the system. I ride it. I've been riding for 2 years now between bicycle, bus, and Metrolink, and it's a great combination. But the problem I have is if I were a new rider, and even now as an old rider, I've suffered not being able to see where my bus is. I'll get to maybe the Shrewsbury Metrolink station. I'll get off, and I'll look around, and I can't see my bus because there's no large – should be a large sign above each bus to tell you which – is a 30, which is a 56. I was there about a month ago and got off the 11 and started looking for the 56. And I literally had to go to five different buses and stand in front of them and look to see if that's the one. And it turned out to be way on the other side. I had to cross like two lanes of traffic on the bus platform to find the bus that I needed. And a simple large number above each bus that you could see from the distance would simplify it and make information available to, especially new riders who don't know what they're doing. They would be sort of terrified to try to chase down the bus that they're supposed to get.
Thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Sure. So one of the recommendations in actually the security study is to be a little more cogent and comprehensive in our fundamental signage. So one of the things that we can do a better job of is communicating with everyone who is out on our line, whether that has to do with, for instance, the fundamental rules of riding, as essentially that are mostly behavior-based, how to make a secure and comfortable environment, but also how you access our system. So there are some big changes to our system in modernization that is coming. And that is through Metro Reimagined. We are changing how the bus system operates in both Missouri and Illinois. However, the changes will be completed on the Missouri side first. And that's to try to be a little more responsive to the modern customer that is interested in more frequent service and service that's accessible electronically so that there's a cleaner communication in how folks move around in this modern world. And so we're working on that. It's a very fair critique, and it's something that we should always be looking at.
You know, anybody who uses the system has a list to a greater or lesser length on things they'd like to see changed. We have a clip from one of your riders who has a very basic boilerplate wish list. Let's listen to what Yolanda has to say.
More security during rush hour this time of day. Smoking on a train and just rowdy behavior.
That's actually things that Yolanda does not want to see that she is seeing. How do you address things like this? I mean, these are kind of basic things.
Yeah, they're fundamental behavior-based kind of environmental type situations in what your everyday ride experience is. And for instance, our surveys, more than just Yolanda, but hundreds of our customers put, you know, really behavior-based experiences as, you know, one of the primary things that we can improve. Well, so for instance, if in the security study what we're doing with our deployment is changing that deployment so there's more interaction between our customers and our security forces, where, for instance, a little more, hey, good morning, I'm sorry, sir, but you can't smoke on the platform. Mm-hmm. Some of those fundamental conversations that need to happen, as they would in any neighborhood, those are some of the things that we can improve. A lot of that comes with fundamental training, and we can do a better job with training our security forces. Even our professional police departments, who are trained in kind of more of a traditional crime prevention and crime apprehension environment, have asked for specific transit training associated with how we can do a better job.
You keep talking about doing a better job and how mm-hmm. we're not going to do it the way we were doing it. Is that a criticism of the way things have been done heretofore, of previous administrations, for instance?
No, I don't think it is at all. Yeah. Again, what I think my job is to figure out where we are today mm-hmm. and where we're going. And there's nothing I can really do about the past, but I can recognize that things have changed. One of the really interesting aspects about coming into the studio today is here we are in the Grand Center neighborhood. Think of how different this neighborhood is from really 5 years ago, from mm-hmm. 10 years ago. Our system was designed in the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. It's very different. However, as the leader of this system, I need to be trying to push my team so that they're responsive and so that they're looking at changing the system so that it fits with the new neighborhood that we operate in.
Yeah. One of the things we must talk about, because it comes up from time to time, is the notion of expansion. We talked a little bit during the break because we have a note here from Rita, and I'll have to just adjust this here, who was talking about expansion into St. Charles County. That's not on the books yet by any stretch of the imagination, but she really gets to the idea of what role public transportation can play in helping to preserve the environment. She says, if you go out to St. Charles County, what can you do to make environmental improvements in the system?
So, of course, I'm a transit advocate, so, boy, I'd love to build out to St. Charles County. But we have to make the case to the overall public about how that fits. How does that fit for St. Charles County and for all those citizens, and what can we bring to them? One of those, for instance, obviously, is the environmental efficiency that transit brings. The other is, of course, how does transit interact with the other, for instance, transportation resources in St. Charles County? I've noticed those bridges tend to get a little congested. Mm. If, for instance, MoDOT could make a design change that took care of, for instance, 10% of rush hour traffic, they would make that investment. And what I would be saying is that, for instance, during rush hour, transit works best when roads work the worst. So, for instance, transit works best during rush hour periods. So we can relieve some of that congestion, for instance, where even some of the people who don't take MetroLink out in St. Charles County, but they can see the value of it because their, for instance, ride is in a car is a little better because we're providing rides to several thousand people in a parallel conveyance.
One of the reasons there is no service out to St. Charles County is because people at the beginning, when all of this was being talked about initially, they were afraid that it would bring city crime out to the suburbs. And there are still some fears about that. People near MetroLink stations are concerned. Do you hear much about that?
Certainly that's always in the narrative. Yeah. And what we need to do, and really my job, is to square my shoulders and admit what are the issues that we need to be working on. Because not only is there just where security is from a statistical standpoint, but there's the perception. Exactly. I need to aim for perception. Mm-hmm. If people think that MetroLink is dangerous, even if it's not, I need to try to get to the think. I need to convince mm-hmm. people that we have a valuable system that's well run, that is safe and comfortable.
For the record, there are no plans at the moment to expand to St. Charles.
Not that I know of.
Okay. What about north-south?
So north-south, for instance, is in the planning phase, and right now we're working with our partners at East-West Gateway to try to look at those different corridors. Certainly it is in the study phase, and it has not been handed to us to develop it, But of course, I see it as an opportunity. How do we weave this transportation asset into what would be the new neighborhoods of North and South? And I'd love to be a part of that. I think it's an exciting opportunity. And one of the things that I guess I would challenge everybody, including myself, is how do we see ourselves as a city? How do we change those neighborhoods? How do we grow them?
Do you see an increase in ridership? And I'm thinking of the millennial generation, which is sort of disavowing cars, if you will, and turning more and more to public transportation. You seeing that?
Yes, absolutely seeing it. So one of the... besides when we do customer surveys, how certainly people are interested in security, very recently, one of the things that we're asked for all the time is Wi-Fi.
I was just going to bring that up.
So, but if we're thinking of this as a comprehensive customer experience, including not only being safe but comfortable, right, Wi-Fi should be one of those things that we offer. We should always be looking at what is the highest customer experience that we can get so we can attract new riders. You know, in the end, Don, what I have to do is I have to get folks in seats. You know, the results are, where is my ridership going? Mm-hmm. That's really, and security, yes, is the priority. But security is the priority so that we can get more folks riding our system.
Where folks are going is a question that Kim has here. She asks in a tweet, when Metrolink was first proposed, Jefferson County and South County were very interested. Any update?
Oh, gosh, I'd love to get them interested. And part of getting them interested and getting those communities interested is by providing relentless customer service. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to impart that idea to all of my employees, including my bus operators, and my call-a-ride operators, our security folks. All of those should be looking, how can we serve our customers?
We have another question here via the new technology, if you will. In recent weeks, the accuracy of real-time updates has been poor due to delays because of inclement weather. Are there any efforts being made to improve real-time updates via Google Map and the Transit app?
So I have team members who work on that. I am not a specialist in the area, I'll be very honest with you. However, for instance, this morning, I get regular updates from our team electronically. Those are put out. They're tweeted and put in other ways so that we can update our folks. We also have text capabilities now that where, for instance, if any of our riders have a question, they can text into a number that we provide where our operators will get back to them and can provide updates, whether they be weather, whether they be, hey, where's the number 26 bus go? All of those issues. So we are modernizing all of those ways to communicate with the public. I'm not a specialist in that area. However, I know that my team is working on it.
Yeah. Another question we hear all the time is one that also has been sent in. Any coordination planned with the Loop trolley? And if not, why not? The poor trolley gets so much press and media attention these days.
So, of course, I'm a transit advocate, and I happen to live only a couple of blocks away from the Loop trolley, and I think it's a wonderful project. Like a lot of projects, it's complex, and there's some difficulties with moving, especially a trolley system, into how cars operate. And yes, sure, it's had its bumps. However, I think the idea is a successful one, and it's a way to kind of change and make a really unique and different neighborhood. And so I think I really applaud the idea. I'd love for it to be integrated better into our overall transit system. I think that's a great goal. I personally would like to see it, but we're not there yet.
Less than a minute left. What's on your wish list? What's the top of your wish list?
So, yes, I can't resist, but the top of my wish list is, as the public and our customers are asking me to do a better job on security, one top thing on my wish list is a master police agreement, that has all signatories involved, St. Louis County Police, St. Louis City Police, the Sheriff's Department in St. Clair County, but also the two prosecutors from Missouri and the state's attorney, so that we all have an idea of what our roles and responsibilities are. Maybe that's a little heavy lifting, but it's something we need to get to.
And there's a transit event on security on March 1st, very quickly. Where is that? At what time?
Sure. It's downtown at the Regional Chamber. I will be there, and we're going to have a panel discussion.
We'll put information about that on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Toby Roach, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations on the new job, and best of luck as you continue. It's been
thank
great
you,
talking
Doc.
To you. Mm-hmm. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.